I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And that was the sort of idea. The Bulldog is big. It's leering. It's coming to get Bambi. It's coming to get Reggie. And so that was grand final week for me, where obviously after the grand final, it's about Burgess. It's about the end of the drought. It's Russell. It's the grand final. It's the reunification of Souths in the sense of we are one and whole. The trauma has been washed away and we can be proud again. And I remember that grand final because after we lost, we walked around to the Borough. I was very upset in tears, not because, just because your football team lost and you're really invested in it. And then I walked up there and Sean was there and in tears too. And he's like he's 10 years older than me and he's a big burly guy. And he's in tears with his mother and his brother. And I'm in tears and we just embrace and it's rugby league.
Yeah.
Well, it brings people together and what it does to you.
The 2014 grand final for me, mate, in hindsight, it's the start of a really special time in rugby league.
14, 15, 16.
Drought breakers.
Awesome. All brand new teams. Similar to 2000s where you would just get – where you had the Knights, then you would have East, then you had Penrith, and you had Canterbury, and you had a run of different premiers.
Into Tigers.
Yeah, exactly. Tigers as well. And then the Broncos coming back and then Melbourne finally winning one and Manly winning one. And we are now in an era of dynasties and domination of the Roosters, Melbourne and Penrith.
Yeah.
And I think people long for, we want to see a new winner. While seeing a three-peat is historic, I think people are longing for, and a dynasty is good in a while, but the last decade has been three dynasties. I think we want sort of an end to that. And I think that's why, again, it's a special time.
Yeah. Mate, when I look at, especially the rabbit there, and I don't know if you're meant to do this or not, but I love the image you've gone for of the bunny there as it's sort of running with the football, and whether it's meant to or not, or if it has anything to do with it, but it does just take me back to seconds before we see GI do the goanna as he's running away, and it just makes me think of that moment because that was big for GI as well. That was his moment where he left Melbourne, he stepped away from the big three, and that was his moment where he emerged as now like, I'm my own fucking guy here.
Do you think it's the most iconic image of the game since reunification?
It's right up there. If you said it was, maybe I wouldn't push back.
Brisbane and the Cowboys because of how dramatic that game was with Thurston, with the try, the conversion, the drop goal, even the drop by Ben Hunt. But then is the moment of Souths, you know, the All-Sydney Grand Final of Canterbury and Souths going head-to-head. The city sort of came alight and then GI sort of stamping his mark on it, a proud Indigenous man. Again, coming from all the shit that he had to cop in Melbourne about the salary cap.
Mm.
That it's sort of special. It killed me inside to see it happen.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a more iconic moment. I'm struggling now I think about it. I think
drama of 2015 is better. But yeah, as a single sort of moment in time, it means a lot to people.
And mate, I've been to probably 20-odd grand finals, and by far and away it was the most emotional. Like, I remember being there. I didn't go for either team, but just watching South fans. Obviously, I've grown up in the South Sydney era. Like, I remember, like, I shed tears that night.
Yeah.
Because it was just like nothing I'd ever seen before. And then they came back, you know, the next year, obviously saw that unbelievable grand final. That one didn't bring tears. The Cronulla one did for me.
Yeah.
Watching that fan base. We'll get to them soon. But, mate, yeah, I always, whenever I look at that, every day I walk in here, I always think of that moment, GI running away from Canterbury, but also the history and all the bullshit and all the stuff South Sydney had to go through to get to that moment.
That's why I wanted to pin it in that sense of history. It's where they've come from, and it's the romanticisation of that footy club as well.
And I also think, you know, I look at it, and I don't know what you're, you know, I always look at the Bulldog being better as almost the Bulldogs is a representation of everything that was bigger that tried to shit on South Sydney and tried to take everything away from
it. We were the last sort of one, and that... It's also because I took certain liberties in that because I'm a Canterbury fan, and it's like, this was the Dogs one.
Yeah.
We decided not to do the 04 because we wanted the 02. We might end up doing the 04 maybe down the line. But the whole idea is like, I wanted my team to look proud and strong and be how I view them, which is, you know, badass.
The next one, 1992. Now, I chose this one specifically. It's the year of my birth. I was born.
Is this your favourite?
Of all of these?
Yeah.
No, I love this one. It's, mate, I find it hard to pick a favourite, to be honest with you.
We can circle back right at the end.
I do love the 92 one. I chose this one. I think I was born 29th of September. I believe this grand final was the 27th of September, 92. So this one's always special to me. But also, just in rugby league, I think this one's special. Obviously, you know, the last team to go back-to-back before the Roosters did it, 18-19, Tina Turner.
Tina was 93, but it's still that era.
It's that era. And I always forget, I know you'll know whether it's 92 or 93, but Steve Renoff, that try, that's for me, that's just an eye. Watching him bounce over the try line is such an iconic moment. One thing that probably you taught me to appreciate more is just jerseys in games and how important they are. And that Broncos jersey and the old red V.
St. George game last year. I think it's when they wore their vintage shirt.
Yeah.
And it just looked so great on television. It just looked the best version of how the game can appear.
When I looked at this one, when you first sent it to me, the first thing that stood out to me was the – and I think this is probably to what my brand is, speaks to it perfectly. The way you've gone for the guru and the underline is the, I think, the 70s and 80s league week.
Yeah, it's definitely referencing that. I think, again, it's iconic rugby league IP.
Yeah.
When we see that, it's hard. You can't think of anything else really with that. And it's so fun with the outline, the underline. It's a great font. And I think, for example, you look at this font, you think rugby league, and I think there's an AFL font where all the VFL clubs had this generic size font. And I think this is almost our version of that.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like you look at it, it's like, yeah, there's nothing else but league week. I really like this one. This was one of the first ones we did without jerseys, where this is just full mascots. And initially, there's a bit of cheating in this because this was taken from a St. George Rugby League, I think 1985 board meeting paper that I found on eBay. And it was on a couple of different coasters. And the whole idea, it's like, when did St. George go from Saints to Dragons, do you think? When did that change occur?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't really put my finger on it.
Does that make sense? But it sort of, it predates this. But the whole idea, there was so much imagery of St. George on his horse slaying the dragon. But then the whole idea is, let's just take out St. George off the horse. Guess what that horse looks like? A dominant bronco about to like step on the dragon. The dragon's sort of curled up, but it also looks like it's ready to strike, ready to fire breathe. It looks angry. And that sort of imagery where it looks like it could sit on a coaster as well.
Yes.
And so I came across that on eBay and it's almost like, that's it. Because I could do something, but I don't think it would be good as that image there.
On this one, possibly my favourite just little element of any of them is that SFS down the bottom.
Knew it.
Bro, fuck. I want to put that on a t-shirt. I want to get a tattoo of that.
That was on t-shirts. So that, yeah. that if you look on eBay and stuff like that, again, I spend half my life on Instagram, which I shouldn't, and then the other half I spend on eBay. So that is on a number of different t-shirts from the mid-90s where the whole idea is it would have like the New South Wales Rugby League logo and it would have that on it as well. And I've pretty much, I've remade that using our stylized logo. I photoshopped the SFS and I've made that ring around it as well. And it just looks sick. And I saw that and I was just almost like, yep, I'm going to pinch that. Just like how we've pinched the 2002 Premiership logo. I'll take that from full bore and I'm going to put that on there too. The thing I really like about this is the 92, where it says 92 New South Wales Rugby League Grand Final. That is taken from 94 footy cards.
Yeah.
And that font and that stylized, that blue gradient, that's straight from footy cards. I think I can't. It's not the Master Series. I think it was just the normal sort of cards for the time. And then again, it's that repetition of the New South Wales Rugby League sort of logo, similar to the 89, is then being recycled there with the red. And again, we've got that little word mark, same as the 89 and the 2014, where it's just reoccurring again and again, just reinforcing that sort of that big league rugby league week, sort of the detail. This is a magazine cover, not a poster.
The other detail I love, mate, is that Brisbane and St. George, just the plain black text.
There's cleanness to it as well.
Yeah, proper cleanness to it. And this is an artistic side that I just don't have a fucking bone in my body. But looking at your stuff, it's the little things that I notice that I love.
Initially, I had that. There was a little bit more decoration. I had lines running through that. Again, referencing some merch from the early 90s.
Mm.
And I looked at it and it was matching the same merch, but I felt like it's too busy. This one should be plain, should be stripped back. And it's like the illustration does all the heavy lifting here.
Yeah. The background, I get very, it's similar to the background of the Panthers one. But it sort of, this reminds me of when you got it, the feel and the look of the paper from the old league weeks.
Very that's much thinking the, about that.
Almost like it's coffee stain sort of. Yeah. I love that. And it's when you actually get to see them next to each other, you can see how different it is at the same. But how when you think about it, looks so similar, but when you see them next to each other, it is so different. It's unreal.
Do you see the little New South Wales Rugby League watermark on the far right, sort of just under it? It's in white, so it's cream is the backdrop, but then the New South Wales Rugby League logo is faintly there on the right next to the Bronco head.
Okay,
it's very subtle, but just little sort of things because that New South Wales Rugby League logo that's in there, it's then same again in the 81. So it's just that sort of solid logo without the red and the white blue.
Okay.
It's just the outline of the logo, which I've then repeated in 81.
I love that.
It's just little details.
Little things, yeah. I love as well. And like you guys can see it on the screen. I'm sitting at quite a distance, but top right corner, once again, the little subtle wording.
Yeah.
Up there, just, yeah, that's unreal. Mate, you mentioned 81. That's our next one. And to me, this is Scanlon's footy cards.
Yeah.
That's what it screams to me.
That sort of the flick going up, absolutely. That's where I borrowed it from.
Yeah, I thought so. Love it.
I really love this one because I'm a Newtown member as well. So Dogs, Newtown Jets. And again, like it's sort of sad that like the peak of Newtown's sort of modern existence is a grand final loss. But again, as I was saying before about Canterbury, just making grand finals means so much to so many people just to be part of that. And then it sort of lives forever. And so, unfortunately for some, it lives forever. But for them, it's the high watermark and they'll never get there, unfortunately. Like New South Wales Cup and State Challenge Cup, awesome. Some of the happiest moments of my life has been watching Newtown win those games with Billy Magoulis chip kick at Parramatta Stadium. Just
don't start me on Billy Magoulis. My God. Oh boy.
One of the great afternoons of all time.
Yeah.
One
of my mates was in that team. Matty Evans played center.
Oh, yeah.
Very good fella, Matty. Yeah.
So I really like that you picked 81 because you went through and you picked a lot of these years.
Yeah.
And I only had a little bit of say right at the end where I was almost like, rather than Manly Melbourne, how about we do Cronulla so we can get the Sharks in there? So this one here, this is sort of based off a mural that was around the corner from Henson Park a couple of years ago. It's now painted over, which is sort of travesty. But it's this big white sort of jet with its fist sort of pointing forward. And it's that sort of pose where it's not the same, but we've taken inspiration from that. And then I really like the teeth. It's, again, jet fighter sort of aesthetic from the 1940s from World War II. The cone at the top with the blue and white sort of squares going around that. And then the eel sort of wrapped around it. We were sort of thinking about how can we make an eel and a jet go together, similar to how do we make a shark and a storm work together. It was a bit of a weird one, but we thought, could it be sort of the eel wrapping it around it, sort of asphyxiating it? And the eel head is so fun.
Yeah.
It's so, again, like the current and the classic logo are absolute emblems of rugby league.
Yeah.
But that the stylized cartoony one of 2001 is so fun. So we were borrowing these sort of different images and we played around with the big eyes. And this is where Tom's drawing work really comes into it. That face was so well done that I didn't have to do a lot of work. He'd done it on paper and I was almost like, cool, I know exactly what to do. I don't need to make too many adjustments here. So those are the sort of fun things where all the stuff we do is we do by committee. We almost make a mood board for each single one.
Yeah.
And so we talk about it extensively, make some notes, find stuff on Instagram, send it to each other screenshots. And we've just got a document where it's almost like, this is the vibe. And similar to what you've asked me, is like, what's the, I'll give you a vibe and then Tom will draw it and then say, cool, I can take that and I can run with that. I might make changes. I could fix something up or I might change it dramatically, but it doesn't happen without his initial drawing right at the start sort of thing.
Mate, you are, I'll be completely honest, you actually completely threw me when you were talking there. And I haven't told you this at all. And this actually goes close to making this one my favorite. My great uncle actually played for Newtown.
Oh, wow.
And he was in World War II. Wow. So you mentioned that, and his nickname was when he was over in the war, I can't remember the name. I'll have to talk to mum and get the exact name. But he was when he was over at World War II, they used to have nights where they'd get some of the soldiers to have like boxing matches. Anyway, there was one guy who was dominating for weeks, months on end, and my uncle got in and fought him one night and actually knocked him out. And that guy came back once the war was over, and he became a world champion. And his thing was that he never got knocked out. And my uncle knocked him out over there. And so off the back of that.
Not league play though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Off the back of that though, they used to, his name was Bill Wilkinson. They used to call him Gunner Wilkinson. And and he played for Newtown when he came back as well. And I just, that's why that one, like obviously Newtown not part of the competition anymore and that makes it special. But because my great uncle played and just the face on the jet. To me, looks like someone that would knock a world champion out and then just get on with it.
But
it's
also like represents what the Jets are now.
Yeah.
Where we are a battler, we're still living and we're still thriving. Like I go to the Jets and that me and Tom are both members of the Jets. We love the football club, what they represent, especially as an inner city sort of thing where Newtown might not be necessarily a rugby league sort of mecca, but it sort of has become the work that football club has done. It's changed hearts and minds of people in that area where it's almost like may have previously turned their nose up at rugby league and then they've come to Henson Park and they've realized what a great experience, what a great place and what a great football club.
Yeah, it's unreal. I love, mate, I already mentioned it, but like obviously the Scanlon's footy card that I'm just like a broken record, but like I could pick that blue out of a million and know that's the footy card's blue.
Well, that was also the thinking with the 81 and the 89.
Yeah.
That they sort of twin together because of the decade, but the whole idea that 89 is the Winfield Cup and then the 81 is the New South Wales Rugby League sort of logo. Those were the sort of inspiration for those two, that they're a pair.
Sure. One thing that I find unique with this one, and I look at all the other ones, and the ones that say Rugby League Guru, it's all very straight. You've got the Rugby League on the angle here, a bit more of a, I guess, a playful sort of take definitely. On it.
And that was based on the Big League word mark from the same program around that time. So, it looks dated. It should look from a different era where everything else is a bit more sort of stringent or sort of templatey or generic. This one is, again, of a different time.
And, mate, the little subtle detail that I fucking loved, and I look at it all the time when I'm in the studio. I sit here and it faces me. The little G in the corner with the red around it.
Yeah.
I really like it. I think it – I always look at it and think, fuck, there's something in that. Yeah.
So that was initially like the $1.50.
Yeah.
On the program. And so I just thought, same as everything else, different ways where to find your branding and your identity and placing that within that and sort of, again, it's a marriage of those sort of things. So that's the whole idea there. The other thing I really like about this is it's Parramatta versus Newtown.
Yeah.
And again, this is going to sound a real bugbear, but I sort of really dislike the homogenization where people refer to teams as Panthers or Tigers or Eels. It's Parramatta, West and Penrith. The whole idea that football clubs are no longer rooted in geography, that they are just brands to be bandied around. This might be a very small sort of, it's not have broad appeal, but it's something I really care about because football clubs represent people and suburbs and places and they do have an identity. And if you drop the geography from that identity, I sort of feel like, what are you about? What do you represent? And I sort of feel like that's what's happened with a lot of TV broadcast where it is Broncos versus Rabbitohs. And it's almost like, okay. And then kids sort of grow up, and I know because I've been a school teacher and I've taught in sort of footy schools, and it's our kids say, oh, like Rabbitohs or Tigers or Storm. And it's almost like once you lose the geography, I think they lose the team names lose meaning a little bit. I don't know. That's very specific to me.
Yeah. And you know, no, I actually agree with you. And I think that's a great segue to our next one. Now, the last three that we've got, we actually don't have them up on the wall yet. I've got to get them printed, which we're going to do over the next week or so. But the next one, mate, you talk about geography being so important when it comes to the Manly Seagulls and the Newcastle Knights.
Absolutely.
97.
Places that are defined from where they are and the people from those places.
Yeah.
Fucking oath.
And
Newcastle,
this one,
what a place.
Mate, this one is unreal.
I think it's the best one. I think the Penrith one is important because it starts everything. But this one, I think it's the best one. And I think when I finished it, I was almost like, yeah, I'm pretty happy here.
Bro, this one's almost like there's so many things in it that I love that it's almost annoying.
I think it was also the hardest one to do too.
There's the little logo in the corner stood out to me straight away, the 97 Cup. Optus Cup. Yeah. Fuck. Stop the fight.
But it was also it was such a juxtaposition of branding where I was on Super League side of the wall because of the Dogs and stuff. And I believed in the vision. We're going to China, mate. and the juxtaposition where between the ARL, the Optus Cup is very traditional.
Yeah.
That deeper sort of green and the green and red. I didn't like the trophy at the time. I don't think either of those 97 trophies are very good. But there's something really interesting about that sort of branding of the Optus Cup in 97 where the ARL marketing of that time was all about harking back to the tradition of the game. Stuff that I was just talking about, which is weird, where I was on the other side of the fence where it's almost like, nah, Dogs, Wigan, Wednesday night, World Club Challenge, let's go. Jason Robinson.
the other fucking, you fucking shook me. The other thing that I love about
this, I think I'm the only defender of the World Club Challenge left.
Yeah. We'll save that for another day.
Maybe we'll do a poster.
Yeah, I'd be keen. I think we should take it to Vegas next year if anyone's watching and listening, but we'll see how that plays out. Mate, I love in this image, and I assume this is what you're saying with this, it's Spud and Chief.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I think it's Harrigan and Hopewade.
That's what the image is.
That was the initial. Yeah. But Spud and Chief also had run-ins in 96 and 97 as well.
Iconic.
Yeah, absolutely. And then trying to recreate that where other sort of things where, again, I'm trying to, with the two teams, trying to communicate where these teams are. Yeah. And there's angst, there's tension. They just don't like each other. And it means a lot. So I really like that. They're ready to kick on while others are running towards each other or one is sort of fending. Here it is. It's full-on confrontational.
Yeah.
The two teams.
Mate, the two jerseys that the mascots have gone in here, a couple of things stand out for me with that Manly jersey, that blue collar.
Sick, isn't it?
Iconic, yeah.
The Pepsi alignment Manly, of the branding. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've talked about tradition and place, but now I'm a sucker for a good branding and advertising. And again, the Pepsi and Manly looked fantastic. And it's also having just a big brand rather than sort of like, I don't know, smash repairs or gutters and stuff like that or waste disposal. It's just almost like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll buy that.
And it's one of those things that like had I never seen the Manly Seagulls before and you said to me, hey, you know what would look really good with sort of maroon and white? Pepsi blue, I'd go, I don't know, would it? Like a
little bit of red, a little bit.
It's just perfect.
Yeah.
It's fucking perfection.
And again, time and place.
Yeah.
It is immediately, that is the 90s and that's the look.
And I love too this Newcastle jersey, the verticals.
Yeah. Do you think that's the best Newcastle jersey?
Yeah.
I love that they've gone back to the 2001 V. I think that's a fantastic jersey that they've got. They finally nailed it.
I think Newcastle have had a couple of cracking jerseys, but this one, and maybe it's because of the grand final, I don't know. I don't know if that's what makes me more biased towards this one. But I love this jersey.
Yeah.
This was Stockland's?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what's really great about it was the shorts, where it was the checkerboard sort of pattern.
Yes.
Yeah, between gloss and a matte, and it just looks sick.
Yes. And
very sort of Syria sort of a cat might sort of appreciate that reference for the time.
Very good. And, mate, I remember when you sent me this, and actually the original one that you sent me didn't have a background. You said, I'm trying to settle. We had a lot
of to and fro between what's this going to look like, what are we going to do? Yeah.
And for me, I sort of said, oh, mate, I'd love like an SFS sort of background to represent this. And I remember we went back and forth and you just said to me, I've got it. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you came back with this, and straight away, I don't know what your process was for it, but I just think back to these times that the amount of those giant flags in the crowd that were these chess, as you just said before, like chessboard checkers sort of, especially the Newcastle one, that screams to me. It's so
iconically Newcastle.
Yeah.
And that's something fantastic about the visual imagery of that football club. It's so entrenched in that place. It's sort of sad that not more football clubs have those huge sort of banners and flags. I was going through because we're posting sort of old sort of stuff, photos that people just haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So I've been going through the New South Wales State Library and National Archives, National Library. You just type in rugby league and you just sort of get amazed by some of the imagery that comes back. Seeing these amazing, huge Canberra flags from 1990, it's almost like, these are awesome. And there was a couple of Newcastle stuff come up. The flags are great. And again, it's iconically Newcastle.
I'll tell you what, for images that like you haven't seen before or whatever, and I'm not sure where they're getting them from, but the RLPA has been posting some recently. I'm so jealous
of wherever they're getting photos from. Oh,
I knew you'd appreciate it and be aware of it. I think some of them have been – I met Clint Nugent over in America, and I said to him, I go, mate, what about the images and the art? He had no fucking idea what I was talking about. I thought, God damn it, well, Clint, help me. Whoever's
running their social media is doing a fantastic job. Like, where those photos are coming from, no idea, but they're absolute gems.
They're all time. Mate, probably the image of all these, and then we'll move on to the next one here. And this one is just so different to the rest of them for me. But this grand final was so different to every other grand final, the 2005 West Tigers.
Yeah.
This image with the big tiger in the background, and it's got the cowboy at the front. This is such a unique little design with just the plain orange background for such a unique grand final. And as we mentioned before, such a unique time in rugby league.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this one.
This initially started from, we were talking about how can we do the tiger and how can we do it differently from everything else, where we've got these sort of figures in confrontation and different sizes, and it's like, we've already done the tiger, we've already done Balmain, so we need to do something really distinctly different. And it's almost like, so that's Balmain, this is West Tigers. They're different identities, especially for that time. So how can we do this? And so we sort of came across this imagery from the Chicago Bears during, I think, the 60s.
Okay.
And it was this giant bear's head, and inside the bear's head, I think it was like a 49er. And I think it was the 49er trying to pick at one of the bear's tooths. And it's almost like that's sort of a great sort of imagery where you could have a footy player inside the mouth of a bear or a tiger or something like that. And so we took that and played around with the imagery. And then thinking about the tiger, that 05 team is really leery. The jersey is leery.
Yeah.
The style of football sort of broke from convention, where the forwards are like, we're going to spread it early on first and second and try to play around you, rather than the style was, sorry to get Abe Simpson on you, sort of the style of the time was to go through the middle, right? Yep. And so it's breaking from that. So
classic example, the 04 grand final.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so we wanted something leery. So I was looking up sort of tiger tattoos from Asia, and sort of landed on a couple of different sort of mood boards and sort of built this design out of it, where, again, it's leery, it's in your face, it's aggressive. And then the whole idea with the cowboy, it's JT sort of under the pump, can he deliver? It's very much post, where really these two teams were equals going into it. Nobody sort of thought that these teams would be the grand final. It was so strange. It broke convention, really.
Well, I still stand by, in my opinion, the two best teams that year were Parramatta and St George.
Oh, St. George should have won that
comp. Yeah, that was the missing ring for the Dragons there. And both these teams knocked them over in the prelims to absolute crackers.
Shocks as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was Cowboys. Was that they drummed them like 30-0 or something, didn't they? Was that that game?
That's what I was talking about earlier with the Queensland towed them up.
Yeah.
And that 2005 prelim is such an, again, one of the great nights of the football stadium, as we've been talking about, where West just ran the show.
Yeah.
I think it was my birthday, and it was a party, and it was in the garage, and it was on in the background and stuff like that. There was a couple of beers sort of floating around, and I just sort of remember being in the garage watching it, and sort of like I was Benji doing a flick pass from the scrum, or maybe that was maybe confusing that with a round 26.
No, game, no, no. Benji scored the first try off a scrum. Yeah, down the left side. Yeah,
and it was almost like the Tigers are up here. St. George are gonna sort of shit the bed.
Yeah, again.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, did you rate that team?
The Dragons.
Yeah.
Did I rate them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when you look back at, you know, teams that it's a travesty they didn't win a grand final. Cooper, I mean, like obviously like Cooper and Gaz went on to win a grand final later, but that team of you know, Sean Timmons, Lance Thompson, Jason Riles, forward pack was unreal. Yep. It was I rated them. Yeah. Yeah. I think
they got overpicked in Origin.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah.
But they actually were still a formidable football team.
Yeah, I think as well that Parramatta side I talk about him all the fucking time. Tim Smith, that was the Timmy Smith season, and I remember talking to Tim Smith, and I asked him about that Cowboys game, and he goes, "Mate, me and Eric Groth all year, we never missed a beat the entire year, whether it was a training, in game, whatever. And if you go back and watch that game, there's an early moment in that game where he goes for a cutout or a chip kick, and their timing's way off." Tim Smith said that in that moment, he just went, oh,
we're fucked.
This isn't the day.
Yeah.
This isn't for us. And he looked over and Matty Bowen and JT were fucking on it. High and bouncing on their toes, and he just went, fuck. And Tim Smith said, I'd never had a low point in my career yet. That was my first year. Yeah. Everything had been 40 tries. You're the best kid ever.
It's happening earlier.
100%. And he just said that was the first time it actually hit me that the NRL's hard. Which is crazy.
I love that though, when rookies just hit it and they just don't know. And then the whole idea is that they think, oh, I think Sonny Bill, or I think, no, it was Jonathan Thurston in 04. And it's almost like, oh, grand finals are just going to come. And then they don't. And it's almost like, footy's hard.
Well,
it is the toughest rugby competition in the world. I don't think we sort of emphasize that enough.
Yeah, I often say, you know, I talk about this quite often on the podcast that, because people like us, we grow up with the game. You just, when I went to America, it was really interesting seeing Americans watch the game for the first time. Yeah. And like, we just don't appreciate how fucking brutal it is because we're just so used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a football, a soccer fan as well. We talked about this before. So SFS is obviously relevant to you, not just
FC, absolutely.
Footy, but also for Sydney FC. And I was actually saying to my parents the other night when we were watching the second leg of the Socceroos versus Lebanon game, I said, since, you know, being so immersed in rugby league and now I've got kind of friends in the game and you kind of see how big these dudes are in real life and I've grown up with soccer players, it is unbelievable the size of these guys, but also the pressure that they put their bodies under physically. And I think you can almost take it for granted when you're not around it as much, but then seeing them side by side, it is actually unbelievable. And also knowing the pressure that they're putting their bodies under, it's insane.
Absolutely.
Well, you talk about the pressure they're putting their bodies under, you don't have to look any further than the injury list this week.
Yeah.
It's
I think it's also the speed of the game.
Yeah.
Where I think the guys may be fitter, maybe not necessarily stronger, but they're fitter, more aerobic.
Definitely not weaker though.
Not weaker. Yeah. But the thing is, it's the speed of the game and what's happened with the six tackle rule. The six again rule has fundamentally changed the game.
That's what we had a question during the week. Do you remember we were talking about this with the Patreon where someone said
the Roosters have struggled.
Yeah, yeah, fair. So someone said on the Patreon the other day, geez, I hate when we have a scrum and we all stop and stand around for 30 seconds. I'm like, mate, teams need it.
You're gassed.
What they're doing is just –
it's not PlayStation.
Yeah.
These are real guys.
These are human beings. Yeah.
I said to a friend the other night when we were watching Roosters Rabbitohs game, which I haven't spoken much about and I won't speak much about.
Totally understand. We'll see how tomorrow goes.
I said to her, pick a front rower and just watch them.
And they just go.
And count how many tackles they do. Like just watch instead, because I'm such a tap in merchant in my own sport, you know, yeah. Like I'm a striker. So I'm always watching the players where the action happens real quick for them. So your wingers and whatnot. That's what I'm watching. But when you take the time to watch what's happening in the defensive side of the game, you realize the pressure that these guys are under. And I think yeah. I took that for granted until I started really taking it in and going, they're backing up tackle after tackle. Oh. Like you look like we talked about Paddy Carrigan this morning. Like that's a player who just is relentless. And it's how can – I think one of those and I'm concussed and I'm out for 12 months.
Yeah.
They're doing, you know, however many tackles a game.
And I reckon a great example of what Kat's pointing out there, if you want the experience, just go and watch a game that Cam McInnes plays.
Yeah.
And then watch no one fucking talk about him ever.
Yeah.
Like, and then he'll do it for 27 weeks on the trot.
You got to have a guy who makes tackles.
Yep.
Tony Grimaldi, 2004. David Stagg, just tackle machines.
Yeah.
Dale Finucane, Dustin Johnson, is that right?
Dallas Johnson. Dallas Johnson. One of the greats, right? Yeah. So
I feel I should like flail myself for getting that name.
It's forgivable, don't worry.
But think about like you need guys like that in a football team for a character perspective and guys who are just going to do the hard work. We can't all be a big back rower who can make a couple tackles, but their job is to be the threat
yeah.
and to beat a guy on the outside.
It's amazing.
You've got to have a guy who also is willing to take 40 tackles. Like Josh Jackson, a really unheralded player at Canterbury Bankstown, but just did a lot of the dirty work. The work that nobody yeah. else wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you don't have someone that can do it,
oh, it's so obvious.
It stands out. Yeah.
You become yeah. a touch yeah. footy team and you become exposed.
Yeah. It's the literally the definition of putting your body on the line. And I don't think you see sports where there is that level of physical sacrifice. No. They're, you're so protected in other sports. You are not protected in the NRL. And that's also why, not to carry on, but I love Olakau'atu because he does all of that. But then at the same time,
he does
like his lateral movements and his ability to like break yeah. off a tackle and go for a try is unbelievable. When you look at the size of the guy, it's like, how can you carry your body like
David Fifita running yeah. 100 metres in like 11 seconds. It's almost, what is going on?
Like that's, you mentioned before, it's not a PlayStation game. Some of those guys make it feel like it is.
That was the thing I felt on at Belmore, because we were up in the back rows of the grandstand. I went down the front to buy a beer and just walking past it, it's almost like, geez, this is fast.
Yeah,
it's just you don't realize it until you're down the front. It's like the speed that and the contact that these guys are making, it's faster than it's ever been.
And you also like you don't realize just how big these human beings are. Like I was, you know, I was sitting in Blokinabar Studios a few weeks ago, and Kempe had an interview coming up. The guy I was interviewing walked in. It was Appy, and I'm standing next to Appy, going, "This motherfucker's a foot taller than me." I always look at him and go, "You're small. So small, man." Like, I'm sitting next to him going, "Oh my God."
He's built like a brick shit house.
Yeah.
As well,
Jackson Hastings has come down for a number of interviews and stuff, and just standing next to Jacko, like you watch him on TV and you know, I thought it was wild when the Tigers were playing at 13, but then I stand next to him and I go, I see why they're playing yeah. you at 13 because you're built like a brick shit house. Yeah. You all are.
I thought Josh Adokar was like on the smaller side, you know, just leaner, faster. You meet him, he's in a unit. It's just that he's standing next to guys that are just as big as him.
I sort of find it hilarious when you might be flicking around in Fox League and you might see like, I think we saw this a couple of years ago where we were at the pub pre-Origin and they had like a 93 Origin. It's like Fittler and Stewart are playing. And they're sort of going sideways and just the bodies are smaller. And it looks a little bit more rugby where they're looking for, they're tracking sideways and they're looking for an inside man to run and defences are backing off. And we're looking at it, it's like, fuck, this is slow. And it looks like a completely different sport and and that's sort of what rugby league has done. Mm. The sport evolves in iterations.
Yeah, and that's where I quite often think that, you know, people nowadays look at the ball players we've got and go, oh, they're just not the same as they used to be. And I go, you know what, maybe they're not, but you don't understand the different pace they're having to think
the
of
pressure that
compared
they're
to these
well.
Guys.
We talk about like maybe the quality of halfback, and we've talked about this today.
Yeah.
And what Canterbury sort of needed, where it's almost like it's a different sort of game and different pressures, different expectations as well. Yeah.
And that's what, like I hear people when they talk about young halves, go, oh, if Joey was playing in this game, I'm like, you know what, I'm sure Joey would still dominate, but Joey would have never ever experienced the pace that the game is played at. Like the worst game of first grade you can find right now for me is still heaps faster than what Origin was in the early 2000s. Yeah.
It's It's completely different.
It's
so dramatic until you see it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, oh, this is slow.
This is wild. Yeah, like when you – and that's what I love sometimes when you get on Fox, how they have the classic games or whatever, and I love when you get a game from the 80s and then the next one's like a 2017 or something, like, and just watching it. And that's before Six Again too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you see, you just go, my God, the contrast is unbelievable. Now, mate, the last one we'll touch on, and I've still got to get this one up on the wall as well. I can't wait to get it. We mentioned 14 was the start of some drought-breaking grand finals. And that period, obviously, South Sydney Cowboys finished with the Cronulla Sharks and the Jaws theme that you've got
for
this one.
Yeah, I thought it was just so fun.
Yeah.
With Cronulla and leaning into that. There was a couple of different ways we could have gone with this, but I felt like this was the most fun. So I've done that quite detailed. It's very different to the illustration style here, but we just sort of felt like that worked. It lent into sort of the big red word mark, which we could hero it, but also how does a storm and a shark sort of engage? And we could have just done two mascots running against each other, but we've done that. We've got that in 02 and 89, and that was one of the later ones we did. It's like, how can we sort of have fun with this? And the shark sort of leering up, pushing up out of the water, and the storm... The stormy, I suppose. What are we going to call them, really? Sort of just sitting above the water, just ready to strike, like the old pros. And I almost wanted to... There's no face on the storm, on the guy or whatever. We've done a couple of different iterations where he might look like Thor or a Greek god.
Yeah.
But the whole idea here is we actually want him to make him a little bit more soulless, a little bit more scary, or a little bit... conformity, like a Star Wars stormtrooper to a certain point, where it's almost like these guys are just a machine. They just roll. And it's almost like the Melbourne Storm Factory taking sort of guys who are okay and turning them into like absolute jet first graders and absolute battle-hardened guys. Like me and my uncle used to joke that like the Melbourne Storm must run a systematic doping program because how they turn guys around.
Yeah.
It's just like it's a Craig Bellamy football factory. Mm. And that was sort of the ideas that we were trying to sort of illustrate there with the Storm, where these guys are, they're sort of faceless in a way, because they're sort of unheralded, a lot of those guys, especially in the forward pack. Someone like Dale Finucane.
Mm. It's almost like they're so clinical that, you know, you could say that the personality, it's not about the personality, it's
absolutely
about conforming to a certain style and approach and the Craig Bellamy clinic that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
It sucks the personality out of it, but that's what makes them so good.
Exactly. That they are mentality monsters. Mm. They are so professional.
Mm.
And so that's what we're trying to communicate there, but also trying to play into the – there isn't a lot of Melbourne Storm iconography.
Mm.
It's pretty much the original branding, and then they've had a rebrand recently – but there's not a lot. There's a couple of Herald Sun sort of grand final posters. So we didn't have much to go off. So we were doing that very much from scratch. So I like this whole idea of this storm rolling across the seafront, the jaws ready to jump out, but the storm is just waiting there. So where, again, that's more talking about, rather than the eventual grand final victor, it's the matchup between the two. And again, those are two. There's no love lost between those two teams at the time.
And, mate, that's the thing that stands out for me. When I look at the Shark there, like, for me, the Sharkies showed the rest of the league how to deal with Melbourne. And I think for too long, teams showed the Melbourne Storm too much respect.
Yep.
The Cronulla Sharks just went, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck who you are. The moment that stands out for me, and it's not from the grand final, but I remember I think it was earlier this season when Mick Ennis, like, he rubbed Cameron Smith's head.
Love it.
And everyone blew up. And I just sat there and went, what, Cam Smith isn't fair game? If Cam Smith puts on jersey and socks and goes down to that field, he's fair game. And if Mick Ennis can get the best out of him, so be it.
Well, Mick Ennis sort of had that sort of running battle when Bloody he was at the Dogs back in 2014 in that elimination final in week one. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
The niggle. The Sharks weren't necessarily the best team to look at. But fuck, they were tough.
Yeah.
And you had to respect that. And they brought a niggle and they brought a fight to it. And they weren't afraid of a confrontation. And again, that's sort of for feeder, you know?
Yeah. And that was the whole, like, they were the bad guys. And like, you know.
And again, Jaws is the bad guy.
100%.
Jaws
yeah.
is the villain.
And Fifita represented that. Like for me, you know, congratulations to Luke Lewis winning the Clive. Fifita was the best player on that field that
no
night.
No doubt.
If he wouldn't, if he wouldn't have carried on like a complete and utter pelican the entire season, he shits in to winning a Clive Churchill that night.
And in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter because Luke Lewis is the sort of forgotten footnote.
Yes.
Fifita is the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And I just, I look at this picture, mate, and I just look at the teeth and I just think, fuck, that was Cronulla. That was bite down on your mouth guard.
It's also two
go.
Teams who were, probably wasn't it wasn't romantic for Cronulla, but it probably didn't have the appeal where previously the Cows and the Broncos, they were sort of, yeah, Broncos are a little bit of evil empire, but everybody could love the Cows. Where these two teams weren't necessarily lovable, but they were hard.
I had a Sharks fan that I'm mates with that I caught up with a few weeks ago, and I was telling him about these, and I actually showed him this, and I thought it was really interesting his take on it. He said the reason why he loves it is because it looks like the Sharks are on the way up, and their whole thing is up Cronulla.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, love that. It. I love too, mate, and it's very simple, just the stripes. On the angle,
a little bit of fun, and again, talking about the sort of team colours, bringing that in because I felt like I'd done the design, and I feel like it's not grounded enough in these team identities. Just finding another way, and again, that sort of where they're out on an arrow is borrowed from like I think late 80s footy cards, where it's got that template where it's up, then across and down, across, down and across again, but it's running with the team colour banner, sort of running, and I sort of took that and think about how I could play around with that.
Mate, I love too that, you know, when I look at all these, as I said, they're all just so unique and different. This is the only one that's just all black.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I first saw it, I was sort of like, I sort of went, oh, you know.
I felt like you were lukewarm at it.
I was lukewarm at the start. The more I've looked at it though, the more it's grown on me because like the black, like the you sort of said there, the Melbourne Storm were like, you know, Stormtrooper, sort of how they went about the things. But Cronulla always, like, they almost seemed like the Death Star to me back then. Yeah. They were just the fucking assholes.
Mongrels.
Yes, mongrels.
But that's sort of what was great about them.
Yeah, there
was
exactly.
It was old school.
It was old school, and then you just had that little sprinkle of your James Maloney, your young Jack Bird, your young Val Holmes just mixed in. And, you know, even like the outside backs like Latelli, Fecky, like it's not appreciated how fucking tough those guys were.
Even Barber from the scrum base for the first try.
Like, you know, you look back to that grand final and Barber scores that first try and I've heard Chad Townsend talk about it. He wasn't even told about the play.
Yeah.
He was shoved out of the way. Just that level of coaching and that level of – and you see Chad, he gets pushed to the ground, he looks up and he's just straight in a celebration mode. It's not, hey, I'm the halfback. Why the fuck did I get shoved out of the way? It's just beautiful. Let's go. I think
that's that team earned respect from the football public.
Yeah.
Where initially it's like, oh, Cronulla, what's the go there? Because they were so bad during the late 2000s and late 2000s and early 2010s, they were an absolute basket case of a joint.
Yeah.
And they slowly sort of get better and there was almost like, are these guys the real deal? And they had to earn the respect of the football public. And because of that old-fashioned, hard-nosed style of football, I think the romantics like me and you were almost like, I sort of get what Shane Flanagan's doing here. It's not flashy. It's not probably the team that you want to watch on a Friday night, but you can't help but respect them.
The moment that stands out to me from that grand final, mate, is that image of the last play where Melbourne Storm make the break and there's a moment there where the camera zooms out. Not a huge zoom of the whole field, but it's about a 20-metre square spot and all 13 Cronulla players are in the shot.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at the TV, it's on the left-hand side of the uprights. They go two passes and Cam Smith swings it to the right and that's where they make that tackle. And you just think, in the 79th minute, how can all 13 players be on one side of the post and they still make that tackle over in the corner? And I tell you, mate, on top of that, I think one of the greatest moments in rugby league that is underappreciated, they make that tackle and Mick Ennis, he doesn't run to teammates to celebrate, he runs to the two ball boys and hugs them. You ever notice that?
No.
Go and watch it. They make the tackle. Mick Ennis raises his hands and runs over the sideline and hugs the two ball boys.
Were you at the game?
I was at the game, yeah. Right. I didn't notice that live, but when I watched back the last 5 minutes, it's just, yeah, it's a really special moment. It's cool. And like Latelli's just on the floor, just made that tackle. But yeah, go and watch Mick Ennis. He runs straight to the ball boys and hugs both of them. It's a really It's a really cool moment and probably a moment that people, from what they know of Mick Ennis, wouldn't expect.
Oh, no, but I totally get Mick.
Yeah.
He's all in as a clubman.
Yep.
He understands what it means as a
club. And he's been to a number of clubs. Like, I think people forget with the career of Mick Ennis. Like, he was the hooker for the Broncos in 06. He gets injured.
Yeah.
And Wayne shifts Sean Berrigan in there and he wins a Clive.
Was in that hot St. George team we were talking about as
he
well.
He was too. Yeah, he was the nine.
Played
with
Johns at Newcastle too.
Fuck, yeah. Crazy career, Mick Ennis. But, yeah, I'm glad I've actually been able to show you something that maybe you weren't aware of. Go and watch it. You'll love it.
Well, that was sort of during – I wasn't going to grand finals during that era because, again, Dogs were sort of on the periphery, weren't that great at that time, making eight but weren't dominating. But we were doing house parties, so we – So 2015, we had just moved into our flat in Zetland, had a bunch of people over, and it was just like the greatest nights because all your mates are there, everybody's having a great time, and the 2015 grand final has just gone exploded. It's great. Everybody's on the balcony drinking beers. It's awesome, and people just can't believe it. And then the 2016, we flipped it. We went to our mate's place in Petersham, and again, big barbecue, and it sort of came down to a getting real niche now. We had a big footy tipping comp and it was between my partner, who's now my wife, Sam, and between Tom, my collaborator with The Messenger. So Tom, again, rugby league journalist at the time, and Sam was almost like, I'm in it because you're my boyfriend and I'll do it. And Sam won it on the day because she picked the Cronulla, he picked the Storm, and was almost like the person who didn't know anything about footy tipping won the whole comp of about 30 people. And it was just
always the lie.
And my favourite memory of the night is the photo of her where it's almost like it's after grand final. She's got a sausage sizzle in her hand and just a thumbs up and a beer in the background. It's almost like, you guys don't know anything about footy and it doesn't matter. How good?
It honestly might be the most consistent thing in human history that the person that seemingly has the least idea in footy tipping.
I was so proud that my girlfriend sort of won. It was so great.
It's unreal, yeah. And it's happens all the time. I remember like when I was a teacher and, you know, I'd be the only male out of 30 going to these footy tipping comps and it'd be the lady working in the office who's never watched a game of rugby league that'd just be sitting there laughing at me every week and I'd just be like, I'd laugh along. On the inside, I'm dying though.
Dying, like, fuck. How can't I do this?
I spent 8 hours on the weekend watching this fucking thing. You didn't even turn on the TV. This shits me to no end. Unbelievable. Oh, well, I'm sure she doesn't have her own rugby league studio now.
There we go.
We'll take it. Mate, this has been... honestly, probably the most enjoyable hour and a half I've had in this studio so far. This has been...
I'm really pleased to hear that. This
the
has been
peak
great.
Of fucking rugby league for me, and I know there will be so many Guru fans that will absolutely love this sort of chat. Make sure you go and follow the Instagram page at TheMessengerRL,
yep.
Correct? Make sure you go and follow, mate, unreal stuff, and we've got some plans for more stuff we're going to put into the studio and some other things throughout the year, which we'll touch base with you guys as we move forward. But, mate, I feel very lucky to have you on board, part of the Guru universe to some extent. And I think, the future's very bright, mate.
No, I really appreciated the opportunity to come in today and just shit talk for an hour and a half. It's the best thing to do.
I've got a feeling it probably won't be your last time in here.
Hopefully not. There we go.
No, you guys, it felt like I was third wheeling. It was really special.
No, Kat, mate, don't worry about it.
You're going to learn a lot, Kat. You're going to learn a lot from me, but I reckon he's going to teach you
No, let's talk about Sydney FC.
Or Western Sydney Wanderers.
Now, we are on the verge of a long weekend here, so I'm going to let you hit the road. I know you've got life responsibilities to get to well. Congratulations, new father.
No worries. I'm not getting to as much football as I would previously because of my son, but he's wonderful and we're going to go to Henson Park on Saturday. I'm going to take him to his first football game. He won't watch any of it, but that's fine. It's just a pleasure to be able to go to football.
Sounds like a baptism of sorts.
Yeah, well, it's gentle. It's gentle. New South Wales Cup is the right place to introduce them. Ground up.
Love.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
that. Guys, make sure you go and follow The Messenger on Instagram. Follow all their gear. You'll see more and more of it across Rugby League Guru merchandise and in the studio and everything over the next couple of weeks, months, years, I'm hoping. Unreal stuff. Thanks for joining us once again on the Rugby League Guru podcast.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.